This is the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. Hello, everybody. I am Coach Gary. With me, as always, Mizio Kyle Pagan. French this week. I'm running out of this. Another romance language. It's two for two. 2 weeks, two languages. Don't call me multicultural because I'm not. This week, we are joined by Mr. Anthony San Filippo. Yeah. Anthony, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I asked Kyle like seven times to make sure I pronounced that correctly, so I'm sorry. We talk a little bit of Flyers, a little bit of Claude Giroux action, maybe, and just a random Islanders question throw in there because I wanted to get his take on it. After that, stick around, Wankel Wednesday. Maybe it's back. I don't know. The show only comes out once a week. We talk Phillies, a little bit of Mets, and then we get into politics with them.
Yeah.
We solve
Ukraine-Russia.
All interview show this week. Because I had to get on a flight in about 4 hours because I'm heading to the most magical place on earth, Kyle.
What's that?
That would be the Walt Disney World.
You excited? What do you got planned?
Yeah, I am. You know, I got some good dinners coming up. This is me and the wife. First break from, first trip without the child. So
first break from the kid. I like that better.
That's not, man. That was sounded mean. I don't mean that. But hey. Yeah, we're excited about it.
What are you most excited about? Like any good dinners, any good attractions you want to get on? I know you love the Slinky Dog roller coaster. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to. Let me tell you something. Look at that smile
come on your face.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm excited, man. First of all, I get to go. I just get to spend some quality time with the wife. That's what I'm most excited for. I'll say that.
I love that.
I'm going to have some beverages. No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. If she does, I'd probably be in trouble for something.
That was genuine then.
Yeah, I care about her. You know. We did a whole thing. We're eating at restaurants we've never eaten before this time. So everything new this time. Okay. It'll be interesting.
If Gary can do one thing, what will make the trip?
I mean, I'm building a droid and that's a reservation. So I'm already doing that. This is going to sound mean. I like Splash Mountain. I'm going to ride that. It was closed last time I was there. And it could be closed forever by the time I go back because they're going to refurbish it.
Do you plan on yelling at any concierges?
No.
About the fast pass or Zoom line or whatever the fuck they call it now.
I was like, I seriously reevaluate if I'll be coming back here. I did say that to someone. I wouldn't say I yelled at her. I politely told her I was angry. I think I'm just going to FaceTime you. I'm on the Slinky Dog roller coaster and we'll just start giving takes.
Okay. All right, we'll do takes on the Slinky Dog coaster. Just don't drop the phone because one time I went to Universal, I brought my phone on the Hulk roller coaster. We went around, it dropped it. The rest of the trip was shit.
Well, I think the Hulk roller coaster is a good roller coaster. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you, AirPods on, and I'm just going to put the phone in my pocket and I'll just talk to you throughout the ride.
Although they're going to drop the AirPods.
No, they're going to be my foot. They don't go fast.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen. What you want to do, you do. Okay.
What I do with my technology, you know what? Let's kick it over to the sports talk. I got to get on this flight. Thank you for listening to the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. Enjoy Anthony Sanfilippo and Bob Wankel.
Anthony Sanfilippo, Crossing Broad, Flyers writer, breaker of news, top five podcast, hockey podcast right now in America, Snow the Goalie. And thanks for joining today. How are you? Trade deadline.
You know, I've been waiting for my debut with the Water Boys.
I mean,
literally, this is weeks and weeks and weeks. There's been hockey news for so long. And you guys wait. It just, I had to wait till I made it to the top five, right? Is that what it was? I had to get up to that level before I was, you know, eligible to come onto your show.
Exactly. Jeez, now you're talking to a couple puck heads. I haven't watched one Flyers game this year. Gary's an Islanders fan.
Yeah.
So, you
sucks
know,
to be him, right?
This is the place.
Hold on a second. Sucks to be me. Been a lot more successful in the last 2 years.
This is true. So what's up? I mean, what are we talking about today?
I mean, I guess, what do you want to talk about? Keith Yandle still being on the team? Justin Braun got traded? Or maybe we just talk about how Chuck Fletcher traded a redhead for a redhead to kind of soften the blow and Flyers fans wouldn't, you know, remember Claude Giroux. And now it's the Owen Tippett generation.
Yeah, and not only that, Owen Tippett and freaking Wade Allison, I mean, they're separated at birth, man. Did you see that photo thing where they're headshots right next to each other? If it's a good thing that they haven't reopened the locker room. Because if I walked in the locker room and saw them both standing, I wouldn't know who the hell, which one was which. I mean, they look exactly alike. It's unbelievable. But yeah, man, I mean, as Mike Yeo, interim coach Mike Yeo says, and as Joel Farabee said yesterday, both used the same phrase, it's a new era.
Yeah.
It's a new era.
Is it a new era, though? Because I feel like we're just probably like 3 months away from the Flyers naming Danny Briere as the GM.
Well, but that's okay. That's fine. What I think what they meant by that, Gar, is that this is it. Like, there's no – Giroux's not coming back.
Okay.
There's no – there's not going to be like this happy reunion in the summer and all of a sudden it's same old next year. It's a new era. And, you know, they've challenged these guys – to take on new leadership roles, you know, and it's really more of a test than anything else. I mean, it's not like, you know, Travis Konecny and Joel Farabee are going to be wearing a C or the A on their sweaters next year, right? It's more about, let's see what you do over the next 21 games as we're evaluating this team and see who we want to be part of this organization moving forward, and you know, take ownership of it. Now, you know, you guys have been around now a little bit longer than most guys. You know, we have a couple of veterans who are out and not going to come back, like Couturier and Ryan Ellis. It's your team. Take it and run with it and see how they look, you know, and if they play well together over these next 20 games, then maybe they'll be here next year. If they don't, then they probably won't be here next year. Well, Farabee will be, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a test for Konecny. It's a test for Ivan Provorov. It's a test for Owen Tippett. It's a test for Morgan Frost. I mean, these players are, you know, are playing for jobs right now.
Can you kind of walk us through what you think the conversations between Giroux and Fletcher were? Him having the no movement clause makes the negotiation hard in general, but it seems like they kind of both played hardball. Neither one of them wanted to veer at all, and it kind of came to a head with him more or less forcing his way to Florida. Can you kind of like take us through what you think the conversation was like between the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I wasn't in the room where it happened, you know, a little Hamilton reference there, but it was, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that are in the, that were there or in the know on both sides. And Giroux only had one team on his list. He was going to Florida or nowhere. So when Chuck says he had a, quote, very limited number of teams that he could talk to, it's as limited as it could have been, right? It was one team and one team only. They did talk, Chuck did talk to other teams who were interested in Giroux, but he couldn't really go anywhere with them unless Giroux was willing to expand his list. Now, this is where things get sticky because I believe my report was kind of a little misinterpreted or kind of overblown. It's almost as if people said that, you know, the way they took it was that Giroux walked in and said, if you're not going to let me back here next year, then I'm not expanding my list. And it wasn't that. That's not what he was looking for. What Giroux wanted to know was, hey, is there a possibility that come the summer, once things are, we figure things, you know, I refigure some things out about who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, that you'll have room in order to bring me back? Because I would like to stay here. My family likes it here. We would like to play here. And I'm not sure what Chuck said specifically, but he didn't give him a straight answer. And it is pretty much what it comes down to. Either way, really, which really means that he probably doesn't want him back, right? I mean, if you're not going to give him a straight answer, you're giving him runaround, you're giving him talking around it, that he doesn't want him back. And so I think what ends up happening there is Giroux gets frustrated that he gets kind of a runaround answer, can't get a straight answer from the GM. So he decides, well, then I'm just going to stick with my guns because I have the right to. I earned this no trade clause. And I'm going to just say, that's where I want to play. Either figure out a way to get me to Florida or you don't trade me. And then, you know, Chuck Fletcher and the rest of the management team, they get frustrated because Giroux's not working with them and not giving them some options, at least publicly put it out there, say, yeah, you know, I have four or five teams on my list. You don't have to say who they are. Just say I have four or five teams on the list.
Right.
At least that would give Chuck some leverage to go back and forth between teams to say, you know, hey, I can get more, you know, from you now because this team gave me an offer. But Giroux wouldn't do that. Giroux stuck to his guns. And they try to send Briere in. You know, Briere is the special assistant to the general manager. He's good friends with Claude. Giroux lived with him when he first came into the league, lived with Briere and his kids. So they have like a really close relationship. But then Danny's also on management now. So it was kind of like, you know, he's trying to play both sides. And they never could get it. You know, they couldn't get Giroux to switch. So Chuck did the best he could with one team. And you know, it's the Marlins, the baseball's on my head. Mm-hmm. The Panthers GM, Bill Zito, he's no dummy. I mean, he's a former agent. Like, he knows how this works. He hears the whispers. He hears what's going on. He knows that he's the only game in town. He's not going to bid against himself. So, you know, he basically said, this is my best offer, Chuck. Take it or leave it.
So you also think Zito was kind of licking his chops a little bit, knowing that he kind of had him over a barrel and they gave him that, you know, that quote unquote interview to be the GM here?
You know, I mean, I don't think that that really came into it, to be honest with you. I think Zito, in all honesty, when you look at it, I mean, he could have really screwed Chuck over.
Right.
And he could have basically said, you want anything for Giroux? I mean, you could hold on to him if you want and take nothing. I mean, he could have offered even less. He offered what we all felt was fair market value, in the sense that it was a first round pick, a prospect, and a third round pick. I mean, that's what we kept saying all along was probably the fair market value. The problem is that it ended up being a first round pick 3 years down the line.
Right.
Right. So it's a little bit further down the road, and it's top 10 protected. So there were some limits to it in that regard. And the prospect is probably not one of the top two or three prospects that were in the Florida organization that the Flyers would have wanted.
Yeah, it was the kid from Michigan would have been an interesting pickup. I can't remember his name.
Mackie Samoskovich. Yeah.
Yeah. I kept seeing that name come up with Florida.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to, guys, right? I mean, so they got a fair deal. It's just not the perfect deal. And the reason it was not perfect was because they didn't have any leverage at all. So you can't kill the Flyers or Chuck Fletcher in this case. If you look at it within a vacuum, he did his best he could.
So what's Drew's legacy? Because like coming in from like a broad brush, like I kind of am. Like I said, I haven't watched one Flyers game. I'm a pink hat. I'll watch them in May, June when the playoffs happen and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I No, you know, Drew gave a lot to the organization, but I have seen a little bit of backlash from people. Like, what do you think? You know, now it's probably, oh, we love Claude, but like 5 years from now, like, what do you think? You think people
forget? People will forget this. I mean, this was just ultimately, you know, fans feel burned by it because they still think he could come back. Right. I mean, they really do. I mean, they feel that way. If you go on, I'm telling you, you go on Twitter and you will see it. Flyers Twitter is it's a mess. It's a heaping mess of unbelievable stuff that's in there. They blow me away sometimes. But anyway, they think he's come back. And so they're mad at him because they say, well, why would you not get the best possible return if you're going to come back to this team? They don't realize that this is it. Right.
And it's not Cliff Lee in 2009. Yeah.
Right. And in a lot of ways, Giroux's going to learn on his own. Like, he wants to come back to play, but he's going to go play in Florida and he's going to play with these great players. They're going to make a nice run in the playoffs. Right. And he's going to be like, you know what? Shit, this is better than Philly. Like, I mean, this is better than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, not to say that he's going to want to then re-sign with Florida, but it's going to open his eyes to say, here, I thought that was like the best it could be in Philadelphia, but maybe there is other places out there that are better than what I had. And you know what? Let me chase the Stanley Cup until I get it. Then if he wants to, you know, 3-4 years from now, if you want to come back here at the end of your career, play one last season for $1 million or whatever, when the team's decent again and has an identity finally, fine. You can come back and do it then. And I think that that's a real possibility. But what I don't think is a possibility is him being part of the rebuild. That's just not going to happen.
It would also just make no sense assigning an aging forward when you desperately need to get younger and younger. Correct. Let me ask you this question, and it always comes off hard for when I'm talking about the Flyers because I'm obviously not a Flyers fan. I root for a rival team. If you talk to anyone who's not a Flyers fan who observes them from the outside, you would say they're poorly run. And the reason I say this is I feel like they're way too overly emotional with their front office. They get very attached to players. And they have this identity that they refuse to want to get rid of. Now, it seems like it's kind of gone to the way where they'll play the new speed hockey. But for a long time, it felt like they were trying to hold on to the whole Broad Street Bullies and really paying to that fan base who buys in with that identification of them. Even the Danny Briere just smells of old, poor leadership, I guess I would say. Do you think that they are very it seems like they're very committed to having the guys who help the franchise a lot come back and continue to help? And do you think that's a hindrance to them at all? Or do you think that's them just really trying to keep their guys in house.
No, I think that that's a little bit of a misnomer, in all honesty. I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, okay, we had Hextall, and yes, he was a former player who came in, but the fact was, is he changed everything. Like, he was doing it. He was doing it the way we had never done it in Philadelphia before. We're going to take it slow. We're going to rebuild. We're going to bring all these young players along. We're going to play into the new NHL and that speed game that you were talking about, Gar. Like, that's how he wanted to do it. And that was fine. Like, people bought into that. But then here we are all this time later, and those players that he drafted and that they wanted to develop haven't become – none of them have become stars. Right. You have some that are NHL quality. There's no doubt. I mean, Provorov, Sanheim, Konechny. You know, we're talking about NHL quality players, but nobody's a star player. And that's what you needed to have happen doing it that way, where you're going a long-term thing. So Hextall had a bunch of failures. Rubtsov was a big miss. Nolan Patrick was a disaster. They should have – the scouts wanted Makar and or Heiskanen, and he went rogue and took Patrick, which was a mistake. So that – you know, those mistakes hurt. Well, then they go outside the organization. They bring in a GM who's not attached to the Flyers in Chuck Fletcher. And then Fletcher comes in, and they're, again, still trying to do things – kind of that newish way where we're going with the new NHL, new NHL. And the Flyers just get bounced around. And it's really embarrassing when you're watching it. Every team just is stronger than them, heavier than them, controls the puck more than the Flyers, gets more shots on goal. And it's like, geez, this used to be what the Flyers were. Like when this is how the Flyers played. Well, now they're going to try and go back. Not completely back to what nobody's going back to Broad Street Bully Day. It's a whole different game, but they're going to go backwards in the sense that they want to get bigger and stronger again. That's why they traded for an Owen Tippett. That's why they like Wade Allison. That's why they like the kid Isaac Ratcliffe that's down in the minors. They got some size and some strength and some, you know, puck protect. Kevin Hayes is a puck protection guy, right? And that's why they signed him. So I think that all that kind of stuff is okay, because you need to have a mixture. You got to have, yes, you need guys who are small and fast, but you also need guys that are big and can protect the puck too. And I think that's what they're going to go for. When you talk about Briere and how he fits in, he's considered to be like that next generation of general manager in the NHL. And when he was a finalist for the job in Montreal, I think they realized we got to do something. Like, we got to, in order to keep him and not let him leave, if he's going to be, if a lot of teams think that highly of him, we got to give him a position. And so it was more that than anything else. So I think that that's how Danny ends up in this conversation here.
But do you think Mike Fletcher's going to be the architect of the rebuild? I'm sorry, Chuck Fletcher's going to be the architect of the rebuild. Do you think they're going to move forward with him?
Well, here's it's. I think it's really interesting. I mean, I've heard so many things from, and none of them that I can confirm. But they're going to get rid of both Dave Scott and Chuck Fletcher after the season. Chuck Fletcher is going to resign after the season. I don't see it. I don't think either of those things are true. But people have said it, and multiple people have said it in different places. So it's kind of weird. I still don't buy it. I still don't think either of those things are true. I think Chuck Fletcher is here and is the general manager through the summer. Now, do I think he's got a short leash? Yes. I think that this team has to fix it this summer, and the team has to get off to a very good start. If they're mediocre next fall, Chuck Fletcher will be fired. And they'll bring in a new GM. And it could well be Danny Briere, for that matter. You know, at that point, he'll have been in this role kind of about a year. So he'll kind of, get his feet wet. It could be. Or they could bring in somebody else from outside, to work with in tandem with Briere. Because that's another thing that seems to be like the hot trend in hockey now. Penguins started it, when they did. They brought in Hextall, but they didn't let him just come in by himself. They have Brian Burke there as well as the president of hockey operations. They create like a new title, but they worked in tandem, right? And this is something that started in baseball. You know, like we'll get the Phillies, for example. I mean, Sam Fold is the general manager, but Dave Dombrowski is the president of baseball operations.
Right.
He's the head of it. The Sixers, Elton Brand is the general manager. Daryl Morey is the president of basketball operations. So this is something that's now kind of like a trend. So I could see maybe doing something along those lines where you bring in a two-person tandem. Montreal just did it as well in the NHL. I could see the Flyers maybe potentially going down that road as well.
Is Chuck pals with all these guys? Because like I saw a report that he was accommodating Justin Braun to a trade destination that he might have wanted to. And then the whole Keith Yandel street, just like I said, coming from a guy that doesn't really watch, like he's delaying young guys' playing times for a streak that like means nothing to the Flyers.
Yeah, so I'll address both of those. The one thing about hockey, and it's not about just Chuck being friendly with them, but the one thing about this sport is that it's a very incestuous sport in a sense that it really wants everybody kind of roots for each other. It's kind of weird in that regard. So
handshake line.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect example, right? But it's one of those things where, you know, Justin Braun's a veteran player, has been in the league for so long. He's played X number of games. He's a hard worker, comes in, does his job every day, doesn't cause trouble. You know, all right, they're going to move him. Hey, you know, where would you like to go? We'll do our best to help you out, help accommodate you if we can. He wasn't going to get more than what he got for Justin Braun. I mean, the only thing he could potentially, like we were talking about this, is, you know, he was maybe holding out for the third rounder to be a conditional pick. So in other words, if the team would have gone to the conference finals, it would go up to a second, right? I mean, so that was the only thing that was kind of, you know, he was trying to get on the last day that he didn't get. So he got what he, you know, he should got for Braun. And Brassard, a fourth rounder, for a guy that you signed in September to a minimum contract, that's a good pick to get for that as well. So I think he did fine on those trades. What was the other thing you had mentioned there, Kyle?
The Keith Yandel street.
The Yandel thing. So here's the thing with Yandel. So, you know, the Flyers have Cam York, who they, you know, are going to now, is now going to be a regular with the team. They didn't quite think at the beginning of the season he was ready. Now, they wanted to contend this year. So if you're going to contend, you're better off with your minor league prospect playing full, like big minutes in the minors, right? Mm-hmm. Playing top line, top pair, power play, penalty kill, whatever you need them to play. Play in 25 minutes a night in the minors rather than only playing 14 minutes a night in the NHL and trying to develop in the best league in the world. So they didn't really have a solid bottom pair guy. Yandel was veteran minimum coming in, and it said to him, you know, hey, we'd be interested to come here. And Yandel, of course, obviously he wanted to break the record. And they said, we think we can get you there. Now, again, this is pre-COVID, right? So before the game started getting canceled, they were looking at it and they said, Keith Yandel will break this record. I think the date was like January 13th was when he was going to break the record. So it's like that's half of a season. We only have to play half a season with him in that role. Then we can bring up York. And, you know, he'll be ready by then, and Yandel kind of becomes like an extra guy for us. Plus, right, he's a veteran. If somebody gets hurt, he could fill in. Okay, fine. Well, the season goes to shit. And at that point, it's like, well, now what are you going to do? Nobody wants Keith Yandel. So it doesn't matter at this point. Are you? And there's no other young defenseman that's ready to come up and play. I mean, York's here now. So what are you going to do? Play some other guy who's not going to be on the team next year, like a Nick Seeler or Connaughton, and force him to end his streak for no reason. I mean, there's no other. If there was a minor league player that he was blocking at this point, I would say, Kyle, yeah, you're right. It's stupid. Why are we doing this? But the next defenseman who would be ready is a kid named Igor Zamula. He got to play like a couple games earlier this year because of COVID, because they had no choice, winner. Right? They had to call him up. But he's physically just not ready. He's really he's tall and thin. He just needs to put some, you know, muscle weight on.
Hunchback?
Yeah. So he needs to come. He needs to get some additional weight put on. But I think they'll give him a couple games at the end of the season. But at the same time, why ruin Yandel's streak? Plus, again, it's that whole thing about, you know, hey, we root for you. You've been at this for, you know, 14 years or however long it's been. And, you know, good for you. He's not going to play here next year. So get the 82 games and then move on.
Yeah. I have one question not related to the Flyers. Do you have anything left, Kyle, on the Flyers?
No, maybe one, but you go.
I just wanted to ask, from an outside observer, what do you think happened to the Islanders this year? Because I always blame it on – I just want to get an opinion because I legitimately thought this was another cup run team. I was like, hey, we're going to run up for another one here. And I thought maybe them, you know, Tampa losing a few guys meant the Islanders would maybe be able to ascend it. But that night, it was like a 16 or 19 game road trip. COVID and injuries hit, and it got off the rail early. And I think you see it now. They're playing good hockey, but they buried themselves.
Yeah, and that was the problem, and it really became that. And you're 100% right. And you know, everybody, you know, we hear it in Philadelphia. You can't blame COVID. Everybody else had to deal with COVID, and I get it. You're right. Everybody's dealing with it. The entire league's dealing with it. But guess what?
Right.
Some people are lucky enough to deal with it in one way, and some teams. It affects them in a different way. It really hurt the Islanders to have – you started the season with that 16-game road trip before because the building wasn't ready yet.
Right.
So it was behind because of COVID because they couldn't work on it. So they had to start with a ridiculous road trip that, you know, they got deep in a deep hole. Then they lost a bunch of games that weren't necessarily because of them having COVID. It was because of the Canadian teams. They had that road trip, right? They couldn't go up there. So they had to cancel an entire road trip. They end up being so many points behind. And now they're playing all these games now that they're trying to play catch up. And I mean, I guess when you look at it, you say, well, technically they can kind of sort of get back. But, you know, I mean, they're not going to make it because they would have to win like all these games and not only just win them, but you're talking about winning five games in 7 days. And, you know, it's crazy because they're going to be playing so much hockey. It's impossible to do.
It's interesting because I was looking at it, I'm like, damn, they're really starting to play well because I probably watched like 75% of the games. I'm like, they're starting to play good hockey again. They're getting good goaltending. The defense is playing well, and they're getting up. They're, you know, all three lines are scoring. And I'm like, let me just check these standings. And I'm like, yeah, there's just no shot. I mean, yeah. I think it's Washington or someone has like 81 points, and they're the eighth seed right now. It's like they're at 65. They're not
getting it. They needed – so it was right before they played Washington last week, I think it was, or a week and a half ago. And that was the first of three games against Washington for the rest of the season. And so you looked at it. They had four games in hand on the Capitals, and they play them three times. So you sit there and say, okay, if we could beat them all three times in regulation, that's 6 points. And then you win your four games in hand that you have on, that's eight. So now you close the 20-point gap down to six. But that's doing everything. That's being perfect in those seven games specifically gets you back within 6 points. You see what I'm saying? Right. So then now on top of that, then you have to make up 6 points in a condensed schedule. It's really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
It was possible, and they end up losing that game to the Capitals in overtime, and that I think that was the killer.
Well, once they went to overtime, that was kind of the – well, yeah, I guess it wasn't kind of the wrap, but it I guess for everybody, and to the Flyers fans as well, it's been a frustrating hockey season, at least for this hockey fan.
Yeah, well, it has been. Although now, I mean, I'll tell you, though, Flyer fans are now going to be interested in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're going to watch, and they're going to root for Florida, and they're going to be all over that, and you're going to see a lot of, you know, and that Florida team is legit. They're solid. I think they're better than Tampa. I think they're best team in the East. The team I think is going to win the Stanley Cup is actually a Canadian team, which I hate to say out loud because I like the fact that Canada hasn't won since 1993. I think Calgary is the team. I really do. But I think I'm looking at a Calgary, Florida Stanley Cup final, which I know doesn't really sound exciting by the city names.
Right.
But if you like great hockey and the way that those there are a dichotomy of styles because Florida's wide open offensive. Has a ton of talent and score, and Calgary is a shut you down defense, physical, typical Daryl Sutter team like the LA Kings were earlier in the last decade, and I think that would be a great final. I'm really looking forward to it.
The West Conference final has a chance to be great if it's Colorado, Calgary as well.
Yeah, that would be a preview of it.
It's not marquee franchises this year, but there's really good hockey teams this year. There's going to be a hell of a playoffs.
I agree.
I just want the Flyers fan who showed up to the preseason game at 3:45 in the morning to be happy.
You know, I found out who that was.
That guy. I've never loved anything like that guy has loved.
So his name is, he goes by Flyers Eric. I think that's his Twitter handle too, as a matter of fact. And great story. Like, he was like a longtime season ticket holder, had major, prior to being a season ticket holder, had like major drug and alcohol problems, went into rehab, came out, and, you know, started to really get into the Flyers as a season ticket holder. That was kind of like his way of staying out of trouble. Mm-hmm. And just kind of that's what he does. It's what he did for years. He's the guy, I'm sure you've seen the videos, who he used to, he's got the tattoos of the Flyers on the side of his head. Yes. He would wear the mohawk, right? That's Flyers Eric. That's who it is.
Okay.
So he was the guy who was the 3 o'clock in the morning guy in the parking lot.
I think it's Flyers Eric with two C's, at Flyers Eric.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we need. I mean, we need a success story like that. We need the Flyers are in rehab right now. We need them to get out of rehab, get an identity.
They're in rehab in more ways than one, my friend.
And get a future. And where can people follow you? They know they can read you at Crossing Broad.
Yeah, read it at Crossing Broad on Twitter. I'm at Ant San Philly. That's really the only place. I mean, you know, like, I think I have the same handle on Instagram, but that I never use. I just go there to make sure my daughter's not getting in trouble. you got to do those things as a parent. Like, when you guys get to that age, you'll find out. You know, things like that. You got to watch your kids on social media.
That's why I thank God I have a boy right now.
But you don't think the boys are worse.
Well, you know, everyone says the opposite sex always worse. I'm just going to manage the expectations till I get to that day.
My daughter, I swear, like, she's the responsible one, the reliable one. She's living on her own, has a car, and, you know, doesn't need any help from dad. And, you know, I just check in every once in a while. My two sons, they're a mess.
Yeah.
I got to constantly figure out what the hell they're doing. They don't tell me anything. I'm like, you know, I got to follow their iPhone. Where are they at? Where's he at now? You know, kind of thing. I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. So
that's parenting.
Yeah.
Well, and thanks so much for coming on, man. Good luck.
Anytime.
Bring some more news. It was great.
Yeah, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
You and then the Fletcher Cox news going right back.
Yeah, it was great. It was funny. It was like, I felt bad for Coggan because, you know, he puts that out. Like, I don't, like, they're getting all celebrating that they got this news. And then, I don't know, it was what, like an hour later, I come in with Drew's going to the Panthers. And it's like, oh, well.
It's just my favorite part that we're just calling this guy Coggan, who was just a no-name reliever for the Phillies years ago. And this guy's just going by Coggan. It's hysterical. He's out here breaking news.
You know what the funny story? I bet you guys don't know this. We used to work together at a magazine.
Good.
Coggan and I. And we didn't even know it at the time. Like, I didn't know who he was. Like, he was Coggan Toboggan. And I had no idea who he was. We worked in the same office.
Yeah,
and doing it, we were both writers, and like didn't know that he didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was. It was the craziest thing. And then also we ended up
crossing his identity until like recently when he just, you know,
yeah, he got a job. He got a full time. He became full time. So now we know who he is. But it was funny. It was like when we first found out, you know, I started Crossing Broad, and he was there. I'm like, he's like, yeah, man, we used to work together at Slack, and I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah. And so when we looked at it, he's like, yeah, you just can't tell anybody. He's like, I don't want anybody to know who I am. And then, of course, he left there to go full time, and now everybody can know who he is. So I loved hearing other people. Like, I think it was Macnow and Didinger when they announced it on the weekend. He said, got to give credit where credit's due. This was broken by local outlet. Let's go to the phones. That was fantastic.
It's the best. It's the best. It's the best when the little guy wins sometimes.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. Oh, so, man. All right, boys. All right.
We'll talk to you.
Thanks.
Yeah, Ant. Have a good one.
Okay, that was Anthony Sanfilippo. Go read him at crossingbroad.com. Now, here's Bob Wankel.
Bob Wankel, baseball writer, Crossing Broad. Welcome to the broadcast. Anyone that's followed me from the first Warner Boys to now Everything's Fine to now the Warner Boys again, everyone should know who Bob Wankel is. It's Wankel Wednesdays with Anthony Sanfilippo featuring. The Phillies are back. The Phillies are back. We're going to have a good baseball season, a fun baseball season for 162 games. It is a baseball purist, absolute nightmare of a team. But the one thing I want to ask you is, how many home runs is Nick Castellanos going to hit with the murder rate in Philadelphia?
Oh, man. I'm just going to let that go.
You happy to be back?
I'm going to let that go. But I'll tell you what, man, this is like, if you ever watch like beer league softball on a Sunday morning, that's kind of what this team might look like. They're probably going to give up a ton of runs. They're going to score a ton of runs. So it will be interesting if nothing else. I'm really curious to see how it all shakes out. It's fun. It's exciting. They went over the tax. Fans should buy in. It'll be a fun summer down there. You know, are they a 95 win team? Probably not. But it's going to be fun. And I think for the first time in a long time, this team will probably have the attention of the city for a while now going into the summer.
Do you think it's going to be sports radio gold with this team? Because in the summer, a lot of the times, listen, it's baseball. It's baseball. This team is going to be, they're going to put up 10 runs and have 40 errors. It's going to be a ton of fun to watch. And everyone knows I'm not a Phillies fan, so I'm not trying to like make fun of them, because I've said a billion times, it's only fun. The rivalry is better when both teams are good, but I have a feeling it's going to be like comically good from the Phillies this year.
Yeah, I could see a first inning where, you know, Alec Boehm doesn't get to a ball or pulls first baseman off the bag. Rhys Hoskins drops a pop-up in foul territory. They're down 3-0, and you're like, this doesn't work, you know? And then by the bottom of the first, it's 5-3 Phillies, and, you know, and then we'll see what the bullpen does late. So, yeah, to answer your question, it's going to be radio gold, because there's going to be something to talk about every night. Because bad defense, my position is that bad defense at the major league level isn't that big of a deal if you have an offense that performs at an elite level. They've got to perform at an elite level. I'm not saying that's a foregone conclusion, but if they hit the way that they're capable of hitting, it should more than outweigh their defensive shortcomings. But my God, there's going to be that mind-numbing, infuriating, want-to-throw-the-remote-through-the-bleeping-TV error that leads to this brutal loss, and people are going to go friggin' crazy. Probably once a week, once every 2 weeks, that's what we're looking at here.
Kind of like when Luis Castillo dropped that pop fly in Yankee Stadium and we lost the game.
Yeah, kind of like that. Exactly like that.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
Garrett, how do you feel?
I've said it 1,000 times. It's only good.
Are you nervous? Sorry.
I don't know if I would say I'm nervous, because, like, I mean, I would still take good pitching over good hitting every time, and that's kind of what the Mets still have. And the Mets still have a good lineup. What's that?
Are you concerned that those two guys are only going to make like 14 combined starts this year?
All right, let's not say that. Come on. I already had Pete almost die. Don't do this to me. Things have finally turned a corner. And then I have the first day of spring training, I had DeGrom being like, yeah, I'm opting out. I'm like, great, here we go. But Steve won't let him walk. I think you made the best point. I think when you were on with Kyle 2 weeks ago, the best thing about being a baseball fan with an owner of a guy who like actually cares about the team, like it's almost like it's a whole new team to root for. So it's not like, and everyone keeps saying it's the same old Mets. I think eventually that narrative will change, because I think he wants to put a lot of time into it. But getting back to the Phillies, it only makes the Phillies Mets rivalry is probably the best rival we have in the city. I think it's better than Eagles Dallas. I really do. Oh. I think when the two teams are good, the fans hate each other. They play a ton. You can get to each other just by taking the train, or you get on I-95. You can go to both stadiums. It's cheap to go to. It's fantastic. Mets Phillies good baseball is the best, and I'm looking forward to it like crazy. I'll go down to Citizens Bank Park a bunch this year to watch them play.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that series they had last year, Mets Phillies, the Phillies sweep, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that was coming from a mile away.
But even when you looked at that series, I don't think the fan bases believed in either team. Like, I don't think the Mets fans really believed in the Mets, and I know the Phillies fans didn't really believe in the Phillies. But for one weekend, you had all the Mets fans there Friday, Saturday, running their mouths, and then the Phillies fans take over Sunday, and like, there was juice in the stadium that weekend, and it was one of very, very few times over the last handful of years where he said, like, I remember what good, interesting, competitive, nasty baseball rivalries feel like. It's been so long, and so I'm hopeful to see that dynamic kind of return this season.
I bought a Sunday package.
So that's a big
sit behind Bryce Harper, get 14 games, got the Dodgers, got the Brewers, got the Braves, got the Mets. Whew. The Dodgers Phillies game, that's over city. All right, those are gonna be two powerful lineups. Yeah, just fucking
pretty good. Was it the Castellanos signing that kind of put you over the edge, or were you in at Schwarber?
Well, I thought since I smoked a bunch of Black and Milds, this might be my last summer on this earth. But no, it was definitely the Castellanos signing. I like left the bar when the Castellanos signing happened. It went home to go smoke a B&M.
So my thing is, like, they do the Schwarber signing, and I think I felt the way that a lot of people felt, which is like, okay, like, you needed to do that. You needed to do that to even be on the edge of the conversation in this division. You know, and then they go out and they do the Castellanos thing, and not only does it signal we're not going to, you know, dance around the tax anymore, we're going to break through, we're going to go. And I think that it was not only the signing and what it does to the lineup and how much more competitive it probably makes the team, but it just signaled enough's enough. You know, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to hold out on the fans anymore. We're finally going for it. And I think that it was just representative of, we're going to really go all in now. And I think that as a fan, you know, that's all you can really ask for. I mean, you can ask to make the playoffs once every 10 years. You know, I think that that's fair. But, you know, I think at this point now you have to feel like this organization's going in and giving it a shot. And, you know, I think the people should buy tickets. I think the people should go down there.
Yeah. How much do you think Harper has like a – I mean, he obviously has influence, but he was so heavily in for JT, and then he was openly, you know, campaigning to get Castellanos here. Do you think they really listened to him, or do you think he went in and he was like, look, you got to put something around me to get us going here? Do you think he had a big play in this?
I do. I don't want to, like, oversell it, but there's no doubt. I mean, Brandon Kintzler was here last year because of Bryce Harper. You know, he vouched for him. And so this isn't the first time that we've heard Bryce Harper give opinions about what the Phillies should do. Now, ultimately, the decision makers are going to do what they think is best. But I do think that Bryce Harper probably went in, and I don't even think it needs to be said, but I'm sure that they had conversations in which he lobbied for these guys. But that's the whole thing that's kind of been perplexing about the Phillies for years now. You have Aaron Nola, you go out and you do Zach Wheeler, you go out and you re-sign JT Realmuto, you're paying Bryce Harper all this money. And so you're so top heavy and you're like, well, you're literally just pissing away these guys' primes if you don't go out and add on. And that's why it was kind of like, what direction are you going in? Like, I would have almost rather seen the Phillies tear it all down if they were going to go that route. Like, I don't want to see this team hang in 78 to 82 win limbo again, you know? So I think that they understood that they have these guys. There's a limited shelf life of how many more prime years you're going to get out of this group. You have to go in now and give them a chance to do it. And they finally are. And so how much is Bryce Harper a part of that? Probably a pretty big part. But I don't think that Dave Dombrowski was, you know, I don't think he said, oh, wow, really? You know what, Bryce, you're right. And I think he knows.
You're not pining for the days of Travis Lee, Marlon Anderson, Doug Glanville, and Mike Lieberthal?
No, my God, I hated those teams.
We keep Leiby's. Don't be putting Leiby in a negative light. It's a two-time.
Well, Robert Person, then.
Two-time guest.
Robert Person. Yeah. I remember his – didn't he hit two home runs in like a Sunday game?
I was at that game, and one was a grand slam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was absurd.
Yeah, I mean, those teams, I'll tell you what, they built loyalty, you know. If you were 35 years old, 36 years old like me, you had – horrible baseball, 1993, you're in second grade and you're going to school and you're like, yay, Phillies, and then horrible baseball. And then you get to high school, they knock on the door, break your heart a couple times, one World Series, a couple more heartbreakers, and horrible baseball. That's 35 years of being a Phillies fan. This team needs to engage the fan base. They need to, like, capture hearts. They need to, you know, get fans to reimagine the way that the baseball's supposed to look in this city. You guys know it. You've seen it. You were young, but you know when this team is good, how fun baseball is. And that's the one thing about the lockout, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, the lockout. Nobody's ever going to come back. Fast forward 2 fucking weeks, and here we are. And I don't think I remember interest ever being this high for the Phillies, you know? And that's what it takes. They don't care about the league. The Phillies fans care about the Phillies. And if the Phillies are in, the fans are in. And that's the way it works, man.
It's just like the people saying, I'm not going to watch the Eagles if they signed Mike Vick. Yep, you watched them.
Yeah, you watched them. And, you know, I think that probably I had some moral pause when that happened, right?
Right.
But then you go, well, you know, guys playing borderline MVP level. And then I'm sure, like myself, a lot of people probably came back at that point, so.
Well, good news is Sixers don't have a bench, so they'll be out in the second round. So it'll be all Phillies for this whole summer.
Are we over the Sixers already?
They have no bench. I mean, backup minutes, DeAndre Jordan.
The big three, dude. Maxi.
I know you're now. I know you're doing this. You're being facetious. Yeah. I know what you're doing. I understand. Like, what are you out on the? Are you out on the Sixers?
To the extent that I care. I mean, dude, go Sixers. I want the Sixers to win. But I watched that Denver game like last Monday, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, so.
I hope you didn't waste your time on what was yesterday, Tuesday or Monday. I hope you didn't waste your time Sunday against the Raptors.
Nah, I'm all tournament up right now. You know, yeah. That's
who you got winning all?
Arizona.
Okay.
Sure. Great pick.
Yeah. I don't believe in Gonzaga. How about that? There you go.
All I Chet want Holmgren. Is Gonzaga to win.
I'm down. I, you know, Chet Holmgren, go ahead, man. Gonzaga.
Nah, he runs too weird. He Mark runs Few. Weird. Now, Mark Few, DUI. We don't like him either now. He's a bad guy now. Yeah, Paolo Banchero, DWI, aiding and abetting, not suspended. Just going to put that one out there. John Middleton, did you get to read the Salisbury article?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
John Middleton, unwritten rule. We don't spend over the luxury tax, but I didn't tell anyone. It wasn't a directive, but we don't spend over the luxury tax, but we always could have spent over the luxury tax. What was that about?
Let me tell you something. If you guys remember a couple of years ago, like they do the Gabe Kapler firing, and he's in there and he's talking to the media, and it was an awkward situation, and he just made it so much worse, right? Like he did the whole like
I'm not a potted plant,
potted plant thing, and I'm sitting in the press room and I'm like listening to this, and I'm like, they've got to get this guy away from microphones. Like they have to find a way, and they did a good job of that. They bring in Joe Girardi, and they really were like, John, no more at the press conferences. Like just you know, chill, be a potted plant, just spend the money, try your best, stay away. And, you know, I read your article on Crossing Broad today about like him saying the whole thing about for every one person that comes up to me, five said, you know, stay the course, don't spend all that money. Like, dude, like you just did something really good. Everyone's really excited about the team. Everybody's giving you this big round of applause. Yeah. Finally, like just be quiet. You know, I know you're the majority owner. I know you're the guy. I know you want to kind of take a victory lap. Like just lay low, dude.
Yeah. I mean, after the stupid money comment, I feel like he should just hide for a while. He's given me Twitter fuel for years. Every time they do anything, I just quote tweet and say stupid money.
Yes.
Yeah, and I get money. At least three likes out of it. It's big numbers for me.
Trophy back. Like it just, come on, man.
It's his QB factory. It's his QB factory of the Phillies. Yeah.
Yeah.
He went from five for every one to five, every one to 10. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I'm just going to base it off of Twitter comments, the people who commented on it were actually pissed at me for being too negative. They're like, I would know who John Middleton is if I ran into the city. That's awesome. I'm sure the couple thousand that read that article couldn't tell you who not only John Middleton was, but if Mike Trout walked past them and was wearing a hat. Like, we can't even market baseball players. You think we can market baseball owners?
I mean, I don't know, man. I will say, like, and I, this is where I go with, like, Steve Cohen. Everyone's like, dude, he should probably log off Twitter. Like, I think I had that take at one point.
Agreed.
Right. And, like, oh, it was right before the Philly series. He's like, the boys are feeling good.
Yeah.
They bounce back, and then they get swept. And you're like, all right. But I will say, like, if I was worth, you know – $15 billion,
right?
And I owned a sports team. Like, I think I'd probably be the same way. Like, I love to hear myself talk. Look, like you said, 15 minutes. We're already 15 minutes. I bet you guys have like another five questions lined up here.
I don't even know if we have that. I know I sent you a DM when I told you I was going to gatekeep Mets news at one point, and I sent you what I sent to Steve Cohen. I'm actually going to read it to you because I think this is funny. Steve Cohen got upset that he didn't sign somebody, and it was, I guess, the negotiators were a good face. So I DM'd Steve Cohen this. I said, I understand your frustration. I'm happy you are the owner of the Mets, and I believe you now get us Mets fans a chance to see winning baseball. However, the media loves to run with anything that is negative Mets-wise, to the point where it's comical how far they'll grasp to make a story. The tweet you sent out only add to their ability to make mountains out of molehills. Please, for the sanity of Mets fans everywhere, don't give them any more ammo. I love seeing your passion and for your team and understand your gripe. Happy Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So I just sent them that, and then I sent it at the bottom, be like, don't worry, I got them.
You should have sent them a letter and sprayed perfume on it. And
it's possible. And maybe then ask for some insider training back.
I love the I understand your frustration or whatever.
Yeah.
Were you like a former Comcast rep back in the day? Or?
No, I still work in sales, so I have to make sure I can be, you know, and the happy Thanksgiving really gave it a nice touch at the end.
It was. Yeah, it was very warm.
Yeah. Inviting. But spot the lie. That was the most blunt thing I've ever said to somebody in a much very polite way.
You're right on. So could you imagine John Middleton with Twitter?
I mean,
oh, man.
I mean, his son has it. His son, I'm sure, gets a lot of.
I was tweeting at him. He liked one of the videos. He liked one of the Black and Mild videos. So that was really nice. Good to see that he's engaging. He is private, so I don't know what he's hiding. But you guys follow him. And I don't know if he follows you, but you guys got in before he went private. So we'll just use that one as the to see what he's doing. Just stop funding horror movies, reboots, and we don't need another Lego movie, John. We don't. All right.
Wait, was John Middleton behind the Lego movies?
He was one of them. Lego Batman, Manchester by the Sea with Casey Affleck. He's boys with Casey Affleck. That was one. But they rebooted The Grudge was the last one I saw. But
you see Manchester by the Sea? Probably the most depressing movie of all time.
I knew people that walked out. I never saw it.
Horrendous. I mean, it was absolutely mind-numbing. But anyway, not to get too far off track here, but so what do we got? Are you going to ask me, like, how many wins, like, World Series?
No. Do you want 85 and a half? I'll give you 85 and a half over.
Wow, 85 and a half is tough. You know, my thing there is if they have one significant injury to a starting pitcher, they're probably under, you know? That's the problem. You know, everyone's like, oh, the pitching's not very good. I actually kind of disagree. I think the pitching actually has some potential, but they are razor thin. One of those starting pitchers goes down, there in a world of trouble.
Actually, this is a standard baseball question. What do you think their lineup and defensive positioning will be? Because it's an interesting way of what they're going to do here.
I don't know. I haven't really thought through this a ton, to be honest with you. I do expect Schwarber's probably the left fielder, and, you know, Castellanos is probably your primary DH. But the one variable about this whole thing is Alec Boehm. And I can deal with spotty outfield defense. You know, we saw Pat Burrell do this for years. Phillies were able to out-hit that deficiency. You build a lead. You use your defensive replacements. There's a formula for this. But, man, like, when your third baseman is a butcher, it's tough. And, yep, you know, watching his at-bats very early on in the spring, you don't want to be overly critical or, you know, like, be overly reactionary, but he's looked bad at the plate. I mean, he's just bouncing balls into the dirt, or, you know, bouncing ground balls again. He looks like a mess in the field. I'm like, that changes everything. So I wonder, like, at that point, is Bryson Stott your shortstop? Do they play Didi Gregorius at third base? So, like, when you start talking about lineup construction, like left, right, and trying to strike that balance, it's hard to know until you know who's going to be those nine guys in the order.
Dombrowski said he had one more signing up his sleeve. Any thought?
You know, listen, it's interesting now, this Odubel Herrera thing. Like, you know, I don't know how serious that is. I mean, I know that the whole thing down there is, like, Matt Vierling is your center fielder, and we're cool with that, but, like, okay. You know, I mean, if Matt Vierling's your ninth hitter, your ninth best hitter in a lineup, that's fine, I guess. You'll survive on that. So I don't think they're going to go into the outfield anymore, but still leave a little bit to be desired there. I think it's pitching. I think it's got to be pitching, unless they want to try to upgrade the bench. Like, you know, everyone kind of, like, overlooks the bench. Brad Miller's not here anymore. So maybe it's pitching, maybe it's bench related, but I don't think they're going to do, like, another, like, catastrophic, like, whoa, you know, we didn't see that coming type of deal. I don't think they're going to do that.
Pretty cool if they did, though.
Would be pretty cool if they did. And that's going to be the key thing going into the summer. Like, the Phillies are going to be good enough to be competitive. You know, they're not going to be 12 games, you know, under 500. So it's going to be really, like, at what point do that? He's like, well, are you out? You got the Phillies, like, winning 71 games? Or?
No. I think they'll be good. They'll be fine.
So my thing is, like,
season.
What will they do once they get into the season? Like, how far are they willing to go to address deficiencies once those deficiencies become evident? So that's going to be really interesting. So, you know, something to keep an eye on.
Thanks for taking Jairus Familia, by the way.
Yeah.
And Brad Hand.
And what you'll do is you'll talk yourself into that, because you kind of go, you know, Jairus Familia, you know, still has a plus fastball, and he's got late inning experience. And
it's fantastic in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 5 years ago. Yeah. Oh, it's like you still probably talking yourself into Carson Wentz being good.
Well, I think I think I gave that one up, but he was good. I mean, come on.
How much of a loser is that guy? It's always going to go to the Carson Wentz. Me and Bob sometimes will just
– I can't get over it. I'll never get over it. Like, I'm fixated on it. Like, I think as a guy that covers pro sports, I think generally speaking I'm pretty fair. What an absolute loser. The loser energy that emanates off that guy. Like, everything he says, does, posts.
Quotes. Talks when he talks to middle schools. Yeah, it's the worst.
Awful.
I think the problem is more and more stuff that comes out that just makes that original rant make sound worse and worse. If I had known, like, if I could have done that rant over again, I probably would have held back a little bit.
It was such a good rant, too. Like, it I totally disagreed, but I was like, okay.
You could tell I cared.
You did. Yeah. And I think your thesis really was, like, can't we just enjoy something?
Yeah. Well,
and
that's all it is.
I agree with that.
It was, like, within seconds. I mean, listen, I don't want to rehash this whole thing, but the fact that he had to go watch his backup win a Super Bowl, it can't be easy. It just can't be easy. And then we're pining for Nick Foles. The guy's a 500 quarterback. I'm like, what are we doing here? It was like, I'm going to do the take again. Why couldn't we just enjoy something?
Well, and that's kind of how I feel about the Phillies right now. Like, the Phillies aren't, you know, favored to win the World Series here. But, like, you probably saw it. You said you – were you at the bar Friday night? Is that what you said you were doing? You left the bar to, like – Kyle, like, you said you were out?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't at the bar. I have a kid.
I was, yeah. I was 100 feet from the art museum steps, and I was like, that – it was a little dark. Cassiano's tweeted that or Instagrammed that when it was, like, kind of still light out. So I was like, do not walk down there and try to go get Nick Cassiano's. Go back home.
Yeah. So the thing that the reason why I asked that is because I'm like half like asleep and I see it pop and I go, okay, wow, here we go. And immediately everyone's like, cool, can he pitch? Cool. Cool. The defense sucks. And I'm like, they just spent $100 million on another bat. Like, this is a huge commitment. It's unprecedented. This could be one of the best Phillies lineups of all time. Like, maybe it's not. I don't know, but it could be. Like, can't we just enjoy the moment rather than being like, yeah, who is he going to close games? Can he play defense? And you're like, Jesus, like, are we that miserable? And
yes, and so, it's just the city, man. There's something about us. There's something about us where we just hate to love our teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least they didn't check to see how many conservative accounts he filed on Instagram or if he was vaxxed or not. So, thank God.
I love that trend. I mean, don't want to dive too deeply into the political realm here.
Let's talk about it. Who did you vote for?
What do you think about the Flyers?
Did you think that question was coming?
I think Ant had one answer about the baseball, so we were just
the Phillies at some point, and that's when he proceeded to tell us he hates Bob.
The Flyers, oh my God, who cares?
It's a good answer.
It's a fair point. How's fatherhood?
Fatherhood's good, man. I love it. It's the first time in my life that I haven't been totally selfish. I'm still only partially selfish.
Yeah.
Like, usually I don't think about anyone else's feelings or anything other than what benefits me in the moment, really. So it's nice to actually care about, you know, I mean, I love my wife. She's great, but she kind of knew what she was getting into with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's changed me for the better, man. How about you?
Oh, it's the best. How old? You had a girl, right?
She's 7 months in like 2 weeks. So she's like 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the 10 month mark. So are you getting close to the crawling?
Yeah, she's starting to prop herself up. So
let me tell you, the second the crawling happens, it kind of all goes downhill real quick. It's fun, but no more chilling.
The thing I've noticed is like as soon as you have a grasp on like what's happening, like there's a good 3 or 4 day run where you're like, we got this. Then it's immediately followed by like, holy shit, it's gaining strength. It's doing new things.
Yeah,
it's evolving.
Yeah, it's evolving. It's getting stronger. It's a constant battle. Yeah.
It is wild. It is the selfish thing's funny. Like, see, like me, I'm going to Disney World. I'm not spending $215 to build my own custom lightsaber. Instead, I'm going to spend $115 and build my own droid that has a remote control, and I'll fuck with my son with it. I'll be like, "Ha, you can't touch it because you're a baby."
That's love, man. That's true love.
Why else have a kid, right? Unless you can mess with it.
Now you're what, 30? You're 30? Yeah,
sure am.
Are you guys feeling like, hey, let's run it back? Let's have another kid.
God, no.
Nah, this is it.
We'll have one more because I can't do that to my son. I feel like you want a sibling. I feel like it stinks to be an only child. And if you're an only child listening to this, I'm sure it stinks. But yeah, I'll do. I got one more in me, and then I'm gonna find a vasectomy the fast I possibly can.
Hot tip: do it during the get it the Wednesday prior to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm snipped, so I'm good.
That's smart. It's reversible.
You being a bachelor, just went out, like wanted to make sure that we didn't have any uh-ohs out on the dating scene?
He's 100% lying. Kyle's afraid to get a needle.
I got Yoko. So she understands. I'm snipped. Now, if I am afraid of needles, I'm afraid of tattoos, I'm afraid of getting snipped.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not looking forward to it, but it's a necessary evil.
You're not a piercing guy. I feel like you were like a double ear piercing guy back then. I could see like a nose.
Senior week?
Really into My Chemical Romance?
Yeah.
Senior week, ass tattoo with my fraternity brothers in the fraternity that I was never in.
Yeah.
I'm just going based off of all of my friends that have done this. Yeah.
Did you play sports in college? Were you a college athlete?
Played 1 year of D3 basketball, shot 100% from the field, but who's asking?
It's a waste of height.
Nice. You kind of have like a little bit of a, I'm sure you've never heard this before. You have a little bit of a frat bro quality about you.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I hear you. No, I hear you. I, yeah. You know, frats were never my thing.
Frat guy, Sigma Pi, baby. Signal five. Oh, yeah.
Notice how Bob didn't ask me if I played college sports. I did, by the way. No, I played college lacrosse.
Did you? You played college lacrosse?
Yeah, D1.
Yeah, I know. My outward appearance doesn't look like I did, but I did. At one point, I was pretty good.
Where did you go to college?
UMass.
Damn.
Yeah, legit D1.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, were you like UMass Lowell or like?
No, I went to UMass. I got hurt and I had to go to UMass Boston. So I wound up playing D3 in the end. But
damn, dude, that's awesome.
I had a shot.
Hey, how's the team going to be this year?
We'll see, man. Just out there working hard every day. Right.
I like that. Good answer.
Wait, are you the baseball coach at Triton?
Yeah, I've been the head coach for 5 years. You're talking to the 2019 South Jersey High School Baseball Coach of the Year.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For you. Mm-hmm. Does it come with a plaque?
Yeah, it does. It's actually around the corner. It's around the corner here. Yeah.
Do you guys play Shawnee this year?
We do not have Shawnee on the schedule.
You're afraid of them. That's fair.
Probably for the best. Yeah. My Shawnee story is that when I was in high school, I went to Triton and we played Sean Doolittle. So like we would go up against him. So I would play him.
Play Mike Trout too?
No, but like I think I've told Kyle before that anybody between the ages of like 27 and 38 has struck out Mike Trout or has played with Mike Trout. So it's impressive. Yeah. So I think I faced Sean Doolittle about 13 times in my entire life. He has no idea about this because why would he? I was terrible. And I think that I saw like maybe a foul tip somewhere mixed in there. And then he's also was a stud hitter. Like he went to Virginia as a first baseman. So he was a monster D1 player as both a pitcher and as a first baseman. He was the best baseball player I've ever seen in my life. And every time we played them, I just was like, everything Shawnee does is just better.
I mean, that was the sweatshirt. We're not snobs. We're just better than you.
Hey, Chase Petty traded less than a year. Bad locker room guy?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
You don't got any clue?
We played him last year. He's a good ball player. Seemed like a nice kid. I don't know. Other than that, I got nothing for you.
Just throwing 100 mile an hour in high school. That kind of seems unfair.
Yeah, it was cool how he hit a 3-run homer against us to knock us out of the playoffs. It was neat.
That's a lot of fun. Hey, I just can't wait until you guys go to states and we mobilize the Crossing Broad fandom to show up and we'll be in right field. I'm sure you'll love that.
Yeah. All Kevin Kincaid's the Kincaid Crusade or something like that.
Oh, the Kincaid Crusade. They love Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting my own called Pagans Pagans.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, this went all over the place, but that's how it does when you come on. So
roller coaster.